This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 412, recorded Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Now with less Android.
Well, I thought we'd try something different.
Let's try something different. I like different. Different's good.
So I wanted to talk about home automation, which we've had some trouble getting to a start on, and talk about a topic that was bothering you.
Yeah.
And this is the subject of Z-Wave and Zigbee and none of the above.
Or both.
So have you actually secured any Z-Wave, Zigbee, or none of the above devices?
I have secured none of the above devices.
What's a none of the above device?
It would be none devices.
So since we started talking about home automation, how much home automation have you done?
None. But keep in mind, I'm also doing research for a new house.
Okay, so how much research? What decisions have you made so far?
Okay, so what I have found is I really like the Brilliant Control.
Yes, but you were concerned about the expense.
Yes, but it's okay. I'm not going to put them all over the house. I'm going to put them in a few key locations.
Such as?
Each of the bedrooms.
Okay.
So I'll need 5. My office, 6. The living room, the media room, my wife's office, and the kitchen. So I'll need like 10 of them.
That sounds expensive to me.
It'll be all right. I've decided that I'm going to go with the Ubiquiti wireless access points. I have
I use three
spots in the house that have hard wires going to them.
Okay.
I have decided that there's going to be 12 exterior cameras with power over internet lines.
So you're going to have all those wired during construction?
They have already been wired.
Okay. What is the estimated time of completion on this attempt? I haven't asked you in a while.
Late November, early December.
Will pictures be provided at that time?
Sure. And I've decided that I'm going to hook them all up into a blue. I'm going to use Blue Iris to control them.
Okay.
Let's see what else. I'm still looking for a power monitor. An electrical monitor, but I believe I found what I'd like, and that it's a see, most power monitors are electrical use monitors. They only clamp over the mains, but I found a and I'm gonna have to re-find it, but it's got a box, and it'll put, and you can put little C clamps over all of the leads and label it, and thus it can monitor the use of each circuit.
Yeah, I looked at those, but I didn't feel like doing C clamps over my electrical.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. What I'm looking for now is, you know, whenever you get an alarm system installed, they have the they run little two conductor wire to all the windows and doors and stuff for opening the open close sensors.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking for something that will help, that will allow me to monitor those. And ideally, it would not interfere with the actual alarm system.
Well, there are integrations for various alarm systems.
Yeah, but they don't really? Like, what do you got?
Well, you know that I am biased against the Home Assistant platform because I happen to like it.
That makes zero sense.
So if you have the Abode home security system, you can integrate that into Home Assistant, which suggests you could integrate it into other things.
Wait, you like Home Assistant, so you're biased against Home Assistant?
No, I'm biased towards things that work with Home Assistant. I'm biased against things that don't. So you have the Canary alarm system.
So what you're saying is that there are alarm systems out there that are already built to hook into.
That could hook into other systems, or people have built integrations that could hook into other systems.
Okay, because these guys are the guys that are doing the alarm system in the house. They're using something called alarm.com, and best I can tell, that's just a white label thing. There's actually no real information on what the controller of that is.
Well, do you want an actual control panel? Is that necessary for your plan, so to speak?
Well, I will have two control panels for the alarm. I will have two alarm control panels.
Okay, are you saying that you want an integrated system, or you want to build something?
What I have in mind is I want a screen or an app or something that will show me a floor plan of my house, both floors, with little red and green lights based on whether a window or a door is open or closed.
Doable. It depends on how automated you want and how much you want to pay somebody.
Don't want to pay anybody anything. I mean, I don't mind. I've got all the lines are in place. All the sensors will be in place, and they're all going to a central area.
So you just need a brain.
I need hardware and I need software.
Okay. As I said, I like to do it myself, but
Sure.
there are other options. So you should be able to get some sort of control panel.
Yep.
Let's just see here. If I go look on Amazon for alarm control panel, Honeywell Security Alpha Display Keypad. So I don't know. Can you hook a regular display keypad into something else? I'm not sure. But that's worth looking into, which is basically, can you get a keypad and then do something with it?
Well, see, that's the keypad part. I'm looking for more along the lines of what am I going to plug all of those two conductor wires into?
Yeah, a whole panel.
Right.
So you can get panels. The question is, how do you integrate the panel into another system?
Right.
And that's a hard question. So that's why I'm sort of trying to figure out, one, is there something off the shelf that I'm seeing as I look around? And the second part is, can we, in a subsequent episode, do some research and try to find something that fits those needs, that gives
I'd
you some
like something
flexibility?
that I could hook in. Ideally, it would be something that I hook in parallel with the existing alarm system.
Yeah, which would
And
happen.
when something opens or closes, it fires off an MQTT thing. And then from the MQTT server, I can have it do, anything else I need. If it's after 10 and the front door opens, do something. Or if, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
If
well,
nobody's home and an alarm and one of the windows opens, then
why
all
not?
hell should break loose.
So why not a, let's say, a Raspberry Pi, where it has a bunch of basically
Like plug them into the GPIOs.
Yes. I'm sorry, that was the term I was looking for.
Oh
And
man,
then
that's going to be a lot of it's going to be a lot of Raspberry Pis.
not necessarily.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at like two dozen windows, two, three, four, five doors, And each one of those needs two pins.
Well, they do make additional sensor hats for the Raspberry Pi. You may be able to get more information on there.
Hmm. All right.
So you Raspberry said these Pis. Are these are two wire sensors, you said.
Right. And I think they're basically, it's open or closed, you know. If the thing's closed, then a circuit's made, and if not, then it's not. Or maybe the other way around.
Expand GPIO Raspberry Pi. How to expand to 120 GPIO.
Wow.
Raspberry Pi GPIO expander. So let's see if it actually explains how that works. It doesn't, let's see. Doesn't really explain how that works. Here we are, the IO Pi Plus, a 32-channel port expander for the Raspberry Pi.
Hmm.
32 digital input outputs controlled via the Raspberry Pi I2C port stack up to 4 IO boards on a single Raspberry Pi.
Okay, but they're digital. I need analog.
Hmm.
And I don't know how you're going to multiplex. I mean, because that's really what happens when you talk about adding extra GPIOs. You're talking about sharing GPIO time.
And well, you should be able to find a way to do an expander and then digitize it and then get it into the Pi. There must be a way to do it. Admittedly, this level of electronics is not my area of expertise. Well, here's something. Low-cost digital and analog I.O. expander. Here's one. A Numato Labs I.O. expander extends the Arduino's digital and analog I.O. pins and makes it suitable for high pin count applications that need to control more numbers of inputs and outputs. Add 16 additional analog input pins by using just 3 Arduino pins.
Wow.
So that sounds like the sort of thing you need. So you need...
Yeah.
So it should be a board that basically does it. There must be a way. GPIO expander, add 8 or 16 extra GPIO pins to your Pi via I2C. So apparently you might be able to do this with an I2C-enabled device for an extra few pins. So if you're comfortable, you probably could find something that will basically add some pins and then convert them so the Pi could use them.
I think I need to know how it works or how those sensors work before I know what I can use them on.
Yeah. So according to this, you can control up to 512 I.O. connections only with the use of a few I.O. pins.
Wow.
This is using an MCP23S17 chip, which is an integrated circuit to control many, apparently, other circuits. So that might work. Connect as many. It's a master-slave communications bus, means we can't. Okay. I'm just looking here, and then you'd have to basically build a library to turn them on and off.
But I don't want to turn them on or off. I want to read them.
So I'm saying to basically read the status. Here's read and read. I'm looking at the read instructions. Here we are, read. So you basically can send a code telling it which thing to return the thing of. If we just want to read, you write to this because an additional byte. Okay, so there's a whole instruction here on how to use the MCP23S17 chip to expand the ports on a Raspberry Pi. Looks like it's doable. Yeah, not my area of expertise. But, my goal in life is to avoid as much soldering as possible.
Yeah, breadboards.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't really look permanent. Although if you're putting it in a cabinet, I suppose you don't care. So I assume you're wiring all this into some sort of central covered area where it can't be seen when it's actually working.
Yes. My office has a closet in it that is roughly 5 feet by 5 feet and has two 20 amp plugs in it. The 20 amp plugs are on separate circuits. and also has its own AC system.
AC is in your cooling your cabinet?
The closet, yes.
Oh. Why do you have a cool, because you plan on putting that many electronics in there?
Yes, it'll be a server room. Not a big one, but I can fit two 42U racks in there.
Are you going to put that many things in there?
I'm going to start with a single 42U rack, but, you know, sure.
I'm going to have to picture this. See, the difference is you're building like a whole home, and I'm trying to just outfit one apartment doing as little as possible in terms of holes.
Yes. I am doing an entire house.
Yeah, I have to get a lot more creative than you do.
I did put everywhere that has Cat 5 has double Cat 5. So dual RJ45 plugs everywhere. Not everywhere, but a lot of places. I'm expecting it'll get a lot more interesting once I actually move there and can actually do stuff.
Well, I look forward to hearing about it, because I have my challenges here. Both of my remote-controlled fans are out, which is what prompted me to want to talk about Z-Wave. Because the thing that really annoys me about Z-Wave and Zigbee is pairing.
Right.
So pairing, for me, ends up being fairly unreliable because things cut out and then I have to reset them every so often. Not everything, but there's enough of those things that I have to fiddle with in order to get it to work. So I have a Z-Wave and Zigbee USB stick that's stuck into the computer that's running my system, and I have a Wink Hub. Some things are more reliable on the Wink Hub, and there's still some problems with the Z-Wave and the Zigbee installation that doesn't involve proprietary bits of hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that using MQTT is actually more reliable, but not every device speaks it. So I've tended to move towards these Wi-Fi enabled plug-in switches, and I started looking at wire-in Wi-Fi switches that come from Sonoff, the company that made these things. Sonoff does make a light switch, or yep, a non-light switch, basically whatever you're... The problem is that it only fits in a one-gang box. So you can't have multiple things in the box. It will only fit if there's only one thing there because it won't go next to another switch. So regrettably, I am low on boxes that fit that parameter. I have one, but then I can wire up. But it's actually the light that controls the exterior emergency light. So I may wire it up there just because I don't have anywhere else to wire it up.
Okay.
It seems like a bad reason to automate a switch just because it's the only switch that fits those parameters.
Huh.
Well, here's the thing. I have lights in here, but there are three lights in this room and they're all controlled by the same switch, which means I have them controlled by individual bulbs, since otherwise I wouldn't be able to control them individually. My hallway is the perfect place where I would want a remote-controlled switch. I have a very small hallway. Except I opened it up to put the switch in that I bought and discovered that there's no neutral wire, which you need for most of these remote switches. I don't know why they didn't put in a neutral wire, but I'm a little annoyed they didn't.
I understand that makes some switches not usable.
Well, the switch needs to be controllable by... it's load when the power is off. So if the switch is off, how does the controller actually get powered? So that's why most of them need a neutral.
Mm.
And I'm wondering how that happened, that there is no neutral in this particular light switch. Because I believe it's an original light switch and all the other ones have neutrals. I don't think it was added after the fact.
Okay.
So there are other things in that vein that I need, But plug-in lights work really reliably for that reason. They don't have to worry about me wiring anything up, except maybe a lamp.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe I should have more plug-in lights. Then I don't have to worry about wiring to the same degree. And I can have more diffused light. You know, get some nice LED lights. You know, under cabinet lighting, under surface lighting, and have like a weird diffused setup. But in the meantime, my fan, which has a built-in light, is not responding to remote commands.
That's not good.
Well, I may have to do a reset. That's the problem with Z-Wave and Zigbee. If something stops responding, sometimes you have to do a crazy sequence in order to reset.
And how often does that happen? Is it certain things tend to go out more often? Do they?
It depends. There are a few things that seem to dictate it in my experience and what I've read from other people talking about it. Yeah. One, the farther the distance from the hub, basically where the central point, sometimes it can break the network, even though Z-Wave is something of a distributed network where each device is supposed to repeat other devices and basically create a mesh network. Sometimes being farther away from the hub means that things don't quite work out. You also have the fact that some devices are touchy and are more prone to it. So for example, I know why these devices went out, because I shut the power off. So I had to hit the breaker. And even though I hit the breaker, did my electrical work, and turned the breaker back on, suddenly my fans, which were on the breaker, don't work anymore.
Well, that's not cool. Because what happens when your building loses electricity? Do all your Z-Wave devices just stop working until you...
Well, they didn't all stop working. Admittedly, the light switch in my kitchen is Z-Wave, and that works. That's a wired-up switch. But these fans have like a Z-Wave module inside the fan unit.
Mm-hmm.
And those did actually just stop working when I reset the power. The other negative is if your power goes off, then all your lights will go back on. So for the most part, these remote switches turn to a power on state when after a power loss. Now, all the Zigbee stuff came back online.
Interesting.
Well, Zigbee, different protocol, different advantages and pros and cons. But none of the Z-Wave stuff, none of the fans came on, and the fans have been the touchiest thing. Now, I have Z-Wave things hooked up, as I said, directly to a USB dongle on a computer, and I have it hooked up to the Wink. So in terms of reliability, both are unreliable in different ways, to the point at which I'd like to put everything on one system, except I can't get one system that does everything I want it to. Someday, I guess.
Yep.
And I do have some Z-Wave plugs that were pretty reliable, but I switched over to Wi-Fi based plugs because they're even more reliable. So far, my conclusion is that Wi-Fi works better than anything else.
Sure, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Although at that point, you start competing for bandwidth with the rest of your devices.
Yeah,
but the ones where you actually want bandwidth.
Yeah, but I put those in the 5 gigahertz range and put all the low-level devices in the 2.4 gigahertz range.
Okay.
So you can see, you know, I'm saying that I'm exploring this at the same time you are, and what I'm coming up with is Z-Wave and Zigbee work fairly well, but they're a pain to troubleshoot when they fail, and some things fail more than others. For example, all of my battery-operated sensors have been pretty reliable, and they're all Z-Wave. My plug-in sensors that are Wi-Fi-based are all pretty reliable. They're Wi-Fi with MQTT transmissions. So some things work really well, and some things, again, lights can be a bit tricky.
which is odd. And then, do you go with smart bulbs or smart switches?
A mix. So the Zigbee stuff is all smart bulbs. So I mentioned in my ceiling, I have three lights. One is a ceiling fan, and then I have two hi-hats. So the hi-hats are actually Zigbee bulbs, whereas the fan itself has a Z-Wave controller built into it. So I can control each bulb individually, which I couldn't because they're not wired individually. They're wired into one single switch. In another room, I have a Z-Wave light switch that controls the overhead light. In my hallway, I would put a Z-Wave light switch if not for the fact that there's no neutral wire, so it has a Zigbee bulb. I would love to have a switch there because I find switches work better in places where you need to get light quickly.
Sure.
Because how do you turn on the bulb? You have to go and either use your voice or get a controller, whereas switches work very well when you want to very quickly do something.
Yep. And I think I want that quicker response. And I also want a thing I can hit to turn lights on.
Well, you can, but your problem was you wanted a visual indicator, which is a problem because most of the switches, they look like toggle type switches, but they basically are momentary touch switches.
Yep.
And I don't know if anybody solved that problem. I looked for you, but I didn't see any evidence that people had.
Oh, well.
So that's the first problem. The problem is, again, reliability. And I'm going to keep saying it because I haven't found anything that's 100% reliable.
That's a problem. Because my wife is not going to want to put up with that crap.
Yeah. Now, some devices are better than others. It may be that it's the Wink that gives me trouble or the USB stuff. So there are other systems, you know, smart things that may be or may not be more reliable. But so far, the thing that doesn't fail very often happens to be Wi-Fi.
Cool.
And if you have wires all over the place, wires are really reliable. Whatever you can say, having radio frequencies of any type all around your house does make it hard for consistency.
Yep.
And there are things that I have wireless that I'd like to go to a more reliable system, either a better wired, to me, a better wireless or a wired. For example, I'd like to find better quality motion sensors than the ones I bought for $8.
Sure.
I had those 433 megahertz temperature sensors, and I switched to temperature sensors plugged into Wi-Fi controlled outlets, which I think I mentioned have been hacked to run an MQTT. So I don't know what's next. I keep trying to figure out, you know, I keep trying to improve what I have, but I keep looking to see how can I get more reliable hardware in the areas where it's malfunctioning. And I'd like to possibly switch to more wired-in devices because they seem to work better.
I need to start taking notes somewhere for all this because I have found some really cool stuff that I like, but now I can't find it anymore.
Why do you ever send me notes on this stuff if you found some really cool stuff you like?
I don't know.
So we have Zigbee, we have Z-Wave, and Zigbee, as I said, for lighting has worked pretty reliably. I had some problems in the past with bulbs, but the bulbs have been working very well. Although I'd like to see if I can bring them back out of the Wink and onto the USB stick, because I haven't tried anything with Zigbee and the USB stick in a while. I want to see if the software got better. That's not really, when you have a bunch of people hacking together a Zigbee interface, I'm not surprised if occasionally there's some technical issues. But I may try reprogramming a bulb. I have some ideas in that area.
Reprogramming a bulb.
Well, what you have to do is you have to wipe the memory out of the bulb and de-pair it from everything, and then you have to pair it to a new thing. And we'll see. But, again, many different projects, never enough time. As you know, I'm sure not.
Yep.
So that brings us to this sort of speculative episode where we talk about our problems. And I'm hoping somebody will come back and say what they've done to solve some of these reliability issues with Z-Wave or Zigbee, or if somebody has some questions on the matter. Because I'm going to continue experimenting. and trying to find the perfect combination. Because as I said, so far, it's the Sonoff devices that I've found most reliable. They require a little more hacking in terms of you have to wipe the firmware on them. And in some cases, wire them up. But they've done, you know, they don't fail. They just switch things. And I like that.
Yep.
May buy some more of them. So until next time.
Until next time.
Where
I will start keeping notes. Where I will, yeah.
Okay. Well, good night, Jerry, and I will see you in a week.
Good night. Bye, folks.